A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks to Bombas for supporting FilmSack. Bombas makes socks that are comfortable and look great whenever you need, with a wide variety of options. To get 20% off your first purchase, visit bombas.com/FilmSack.
You're needed back in London.
What for? To pay my respects? No, I don't work for you anymore. I don't owe you anything. Drop me here.
Anyone you need to say goodbye to?
So you should really be nice to me.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 435. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, get a haircut, Jon Snow, Dunaway.
Ah, you hippie.
Yeah.
I do need a haircut. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Dimitri, answer the phone. Okay, I'll get it then, you lazy Russian bum. Uh-oh. It's one of those out-of-area calls. But I should probably still answer it. It could be our manly leader on vacation. And you may have lost another shirt. But just to be safe, I'm going to use the phone answering protocol number 2. Hello, Taco Bell of Moscow. How may we perforate your colon today? Oh, hi, Harry. Yes, this is FSB. My accent? Oh, I dropped it. I'm working the spy game now. Got to sound American. So what can I do for you, Harry? Kazim's wife? Yeah, she's here. Can we return her today? You mean like right now? Because today is no good and I'm pretty busy next week. In fact, my whole month is booked up. Right. So today then. Okay, say, just a hypothetical question. Does she need to be alive? Right. No, I totally understand. No, she's fine. Just like when you dropped her off. Totally fine. Not a scratch on her. All right, listen, I got to go. Demetria is choking on a chicken bone. All right. See you then, Harry. Say hi to Hermione and Hagrid for me. All right. Bye. Dimitri, get a shovel. We got some digging to do.
You know, Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart would be impressed. Oh, sorry. You're not done.
Continue. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's odd. I don't remember writing pull on my hand. Go ahead, Bob Newhart.
I was going to say, your fake phone call was Bob Newhart levels of execution. Nice work.
Yeah, always inspired by the Bob Newhart.
Well done. Speaking of an inspiration, Randy, also joining us. Randy, gotta love a town where every intersection is called a circus. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. Hi. I do actually really love that. Okay, so this is called Intelligence Quotient. We met you first in Moscow. Why there? You were never told. Your dead dad's friends gone haywire. Now you're sort of back in the fold. The agency has rules now, but they let you come and go. Even when you might be the terrorist, they're great detectives, don't you know? A pretty good fighter with a tiny brain. You blunder and you blow through Power Ranger plot holes. Big enough a truck could go.
Thanks, Saban.
From Liverpool to Dover, all up and down King's Road. Even when it's done and over, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
There it is.
That was really good.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well done.
I thought there was a...
But I was disappointed because we got a little preview of Ukulele pre-show.
Yeah, isn't there kind of like a
thing? It's really open.
Is that for later? Is that for not now?
Maybe later, still.
Okay. Is that for your Twitter post?
Maybe later in another episode.
Oh, all right. I thought we had music coming. All right. Well, that's all right.
We went from Bob Newhart to Nipsey Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Nice. Let's see where we go with this third one. Brian, he knows nothing, Ibbot.
Definitely sensing a theme. Yeah. Commander, Brian's film sack intro is safely aboard the lorry, and it's on its way to headquarters. It should be here soon, but we've run into some traffic on the Tower Bridge Expressway. It's boot to bonnet out there, and I'm seeing some movement on the bridge security cameras. Yes, it looks like three motorcycles are heading directly for the truck with the intent of stealing Brian's film sack intro. No. The first one just got to the truck. And, oh, it looks like it's comedy. Well, this film is completely devoid of any of that, so comedy just bounced right off the side of the truck. The next motorcycle is approaching, and I can see it now. It's glaring factual or continuity errors. American audiences have no idea what happens in MI5, so I think, yes, it pretty much vaporized as soon as it hit the truck. There's just one motorcycle left, and it's getting to where I can make it out. It's, oh no, it's a Game of Thrones joke. Oh, it ripped open the back of the lorry like it was made out of crepe paper. It's yanked Brian's film sack intro out of the back of the truck, and the two of them have escaped. Oh, well, I guess if we've learned anything today, you know... just kidding. It's to stick them with the pointy end.
Nicely done.
Yeah. I thought about a Game of Thrones intro, too. I didn't...
I mean, look,
about a couple of times.
The thing is, there is everyone thinks, oh, because Kit Harington's in this, and the answer would be, well, partially and probably prominently, but there's also another dude, the guy that was kind of the crusty head of everything that fired what's his name and locked him up and interrogated him. That's another Game of Thrones face, and probably more. I didn't dig around, but I'll bet you there are more people in Game of Thrones.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Absolutely.
You know, everybody just works either Harry Potter movies, Game of Thrones movies, or
at least our eyes. And we wonder why they renamed this movie from Spooks the Greater Good to MI5.
Yeah. Right. Well, keep in mind. All right. So this is an important thing to mention. MI5 is the movie. It is not a Mission Impossible sequel. It's like nothing of the sort. However, other than it's in sort of spy espionage sort of genre. But the show called Spooks, which I saw on TV, but it was still called MI5 here in the States. The TV show is called Spooks over there. Mm-hmm. I watched it, most of it. I couldn't tell you if I saw the entire series or not, but I did see a whole lot of episodes. I saw a previous, at the time, unknown Benedict Cumberbatch in a few episodes. All kinds of people. It was basically right around the time that 24 was happening here. And in a lot of ways, they're very similar. It's sort of, you know, this intense sort of thing. But it's the why they call it Spooks over there and not here, why this is called Spooks, colon, whatever over there, this movie and not here. I don't know. I don't get it.
We know, right?
Do we know?
I think it's I think Spooks in America is considered a derogatory reference
racial
to
term. It is
African Americans.
Oh, it is. Right. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I had no idea.
Did you never read Catcher in the Rye? What was the other one we had to read?
Mockingbird, right?
To Kill a Mockingbird. Yes, Mockingbird. Exactly.
Right. I did read it, but I didn't remember the term or that term being used.
I feel like that's when that term. That's when I remember that term
hitting me.
Right.
Okay, so this word,
Scout and Boo Radley and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh!
Look here, Boo Radley.
That's interesting. Urban Dictionary's top definition is government intelligence agencies, G-men, someone in an espionage. But then the very next one, then we get into the real fun of racial profiling.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, now that answers my question.
That's why a lot of British people don't work in American intelligence for very long, because they use that term on their first day and they're ushered to the door. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
Spy is like what another term for spy? Is that the idea? A spook is a spy?
I guess so. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I said, learn something today. I feel like I came in here.
We just don't use it, Scott. We just don't.
This leads to the very first absolutely ridiculous trope.
Oh, what? I'm going to play that early. Absolutely. Holy right out of the gate.
Really?
All right.
Apparently, American policing authorities and British ones like work together. Like they're not even distinct. They just have offices in separate countries. But apparently, like the Americans are coming and going from the British Secret Service all the time. It's like not even there's not even a actually a lot of these Brits, they're working their way up to getting jobs in the American CIA. Like that's actually what they say in the movie.
But is that maybe it's a
it's
thing.
It's ridiculous.
Maybe it's a thing. I don't know. Are we
they were portrayed. Yeah, they were portraying the death. Yes, Scott,
your secret intelligence agency is readily hiring from other countries.
No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. But like the just collaboration and doing joint ops with each other and stuff like that. That has to be a thing, right? That's a thing.
There's no way it's as prominent as depicted in this movie, by a lot.
Well, here's what'll happen. We'll get like a load of emails from like ex-military covert ops, black ops people, and they'll say something. They'll clear us up. They'll let us know.
I was just hiding in the hole waiting to kill the next terrorist, and I was listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, you guys are morons.
Yeah. I also, a part of that little trope is that the bad guy in this film is just some American. Like,
well, he's British, but yeah.
He has all of these like religious and racial grievances and backgrounds, but man, he talks like he grew up in Peoria.
Yeah. Well, he talks, if you close your eyes, he sounds like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, he did. He did just a little bit.
Dude. If you could bring me my wife. Okay. All right. Bring me my wife.
Yeah.
Alive. Okay, dude. Yeah. You paying attention, dude?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that.
He playing Gallic over on that screen right there.
You know, he does a really good job of it, though. I don't know if it's his only American accent he can affect, but the dude's British, so he faked it pretty well. But he went so far as to fake it to sound like some, you know, kid at Princeton or something. He just sounds like some college kid aged whatever. And it was hard for me to take him serious as a result because he just came off as,
this whole movie wasn't really, it wasn't really anything more than drama, right? Because I would classify this as more than drama than anything. It's not really thriller or intrigue or anything like that, because most of the stuff, pretty much on the surface, even the things that Kit Harington doesn't know that might would surprise people, the audience knows, right? The audience is kind of already
yes and no. Like it gets to be ridiculous what Will Holloway, that's such a, I love the names in this movie. It gets to be ridiculous what Will Holloway doesn't know and can't figure out. Like is he any good at his job or not? I agree he's good at fighting. Like really good
at
supernaturally
punching.
Good at fighting.
Yeah, he's really good at punching Harry in the guts. Yeah, that was awesome.
But like, there's just so many moments where I'm like, why is Will Holloway not involved in this knowledge? You know, like even right to the very end when Peter Firth is so good in this movie, guys. At the very end when Peter Firth goes and does his final twist, which by the way makes the movie way better. Like I'm going along, oh, this is a six, this is a seven, this is a six, and then the end scene where he confronts what's her name, Tuppence Middleton. Oh my god,
different actress.
That scene takes it to an 11 for me. That one end, like an ending that makes the movie.
Tuppence Middleton, for the record, is the young one that tries to have him killed earlier. Different chick.
That's right.
Penelope Pishposh or something like that is her name.
Laura Pulver, is it? No. Wait.
Laura.
Jennifer Eel. Jennifer Eel.
Thank you.
Yes. Wait, the one that eats the pill?
She didn't know it. And
it was,
by the way,
it was
we
in
never
the put
know.
In the whole time.
Right. That's a trope. We don't actually know. We don't find out. We just know that he went and told her, and he doesn't even tell her directly. But it's like it would have been really cool if he'd taken Kit Harington with him, right? Like that. Like just once in the entire movie, if someone had told Kit Harington's character what the hell was going on, it just would have been nice.
What fun would that be? So that was actually going to be my other intro. Was going to be. The Maltby, the Jennifer Eel, I thought, oh, it'd be interesting to hang out with her while she was bleeding out of the anus talking to her niece. No, go to the hospital, stupid. Don't stay there like that guy told you to do.
Yeah.
That
was a weird story. I'm not 100% sure he actually did it. Like,
So you think that he just told her he poisoned her, and like 2.5 hours, she's like, well, damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, he got me good there, didn't he?
By the way, according to the trivia, that lady, Jennifer L., was originally cast as Catelyn Stark in Game of Thrones before she dropped out.
I can see that.
That's right.
Either that or the red, the red witch, right? Or
what was red, the red woman.
Red woman, that's it.
What was her name? Melisandre, whatever.
Yeah, Melisandre.
Right.
Yeah. And then,
but I mean, I wonder, do you agree that that ending was kind of better than the rest?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. No, it was a perfect cap, I thought. The one with the pill and her and the whole confrontation was real good.
Yeah.
There was three endings.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Well, okay, him talking to Kit Harington on the beach.
Right.
The banks of the Thames and then, of course, just the ending in the
The ending where he lets him go. CTU. It's like, nah, go ahead.
Oh, and if you guys, by the way, were wondering why they did that snapshot at the end when he's on the bank of the thing and then it turns inverse and then fades out right at the end. We're talking the very final scene. That's a thing they did in every episode of that show.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was why.
So, and Peter Firth is the main guy in the TV show, correct?
Correct.
Like, he's the Jack Bauer of...
Sort of. He's dude in charge. And it does focus around him. His role, you know, in the first part of this movie where he's in there kind of calling the shots and doing that stuff, that's kind of the whole series. That's his space. And then everyone else kind of works for him. So they have a lot of other mini Jack Bowers that run around and do actual ops for him.
I'm a little mini Jack Bauer.
It's like that. It's like he's just sort of the dude what's in charge, and then everybody kind of does what he says.
Gotcha.
And he's very good. Yeah. He's very good in the show. He's very good here. He's just
great. He's really good here, yeah. This movie does make me want to go back and watch Spooks now, or MI5, the TV show.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good drama. So June, the character early on, spoiler, that dies at his hand, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
At Peter Firth's hand.
Spoiler, it happens in the first 2 minutes of the film.
Yeah. That's why I said spoiler with sarcasm.
Pretty
good. All over it. And, but she died. So was she like I know she was from the series. Was she a bigger character? I wonder how people who watched the series were like, no, not June. She was there for 8 seasons. I can't believe they just killed her in the movie. Cause she just kind of.
Well, this was clearly a film that decided that it wanted to be the end of all MI5 / Spooks. Like this was a capper finale. Because it's never going to be the same. He's no longer in charge of anything over there. You know, all things are sort of tied up. People are dying that were on the show for a decade. And that's a much more meaningful death if you're a fan of the show. Like, if you're a fan of the show, you're like, oh my gosh, really? That's it for her? Like, that was probably really heartbreaking for a lot of people.
From everybody else, they had to get the cheap shot. It was like, oh, no, don't kill her. Why not? We haven't even really met this woman yet. Oh, but she's got a kid. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling for her now.
And Tuppence Middleton is on my mind because she plays Lady Waycrest in World of Warcraft. She voiced the you know, head of the Waycrest house who is battling the invasion of Drust and Drustfar.
Oh, right. That's some good undead stuff going on there. She's very cool. She's in the new... Of course she is, but Downton Abbey movie. She was not in the show, so I don't know what the deal is there. And I haven't kept up with the final seasons of that thing, but you know, she seems like she's up and coming, doing stuff, getting around. Mm-hmm. It was a weird role for her.
Not the first person I've heard say this. What is it about Downton Abbey that people are like, they'll watch through 2 or 3 seasons and they actually would rather start over than continue to the end of the season?
I don't know. Really? I don't know if I'd want to start over. I would have to just go find out where I finished. I think it was season 3, and then just continue forward. I'd be fine with just doing that. But that's such an interesting thing that it even exists, or that it's any good. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious about. I think we talked about this on another show, but I'm curious about what the audience is that goes and sees that. They're going to be diehard Downton Abbey fans, obviously. But that'll be it. Like, I feel very strong. Oh, it was you, but I was telling you, if you were going to go see that movie, that's one of those movies where I'd be like, well, that is where
I don't
you
think I have
need
any
the
idea
show.
What's going on.
Yeah, you'd kind of need the show. And
but then I'm not sure I would have said that had I not seen, had you not said that you saw Firefly or Serenity before you saw Firefly, any of the show, and you had no problem, you know.
That's true, but I felt like that was that can work because it's science fiction. There are archetypes. I get immediately who Captain Mal is. Like, I feel like that movie did a great job of saying, hey, you're coming here sight unseen. Don't worry, you're going to get a cool science fiction romp and you're all good.
And they may do, obviously we haven't seen the Downton Abbey film. So they may do the same thing as far as a really kind of overall character intro for those people who get drugged there by their wives. Like I probably will.
I think there's like a gradient, and on like one end you have Rambo 5, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it does not matter one lick. If you've seen any Rambo, it doesn't matter if you've seen any movies, you're going to get caught up, right?
You'll know what's going on with Rambo as soon as you sit down. Yeah, you're right.
But then on the other end, it feels like Downton Abbey can't possibly catch you up in, I don't know, backstory, people using each other's names out loud when they know the name and always have, you know, like that kind of stuff is only going to take you so far with Downton Abbey.
Yeah, it's also the way it's threaded and the story is told. It is very, here is a family over time kind of arc. Yeah. And you get all the bits and the pieces and the stuff.
So
to just jump straight into a movie seems odd to me. So we'll see.
The way a lot of drama series become a movie is they set the movie, they don't set it at the end of the whole series. They put it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think it would be really funny for everyone to go see this movie and realize in the first 5 minutes, shit, it's a prequel.
You never know what you're going to get. By the way,
I like Fire Walk With Me. That might be my favorite film that was like, Serenity. It's hard to top Serenity, but you know, films that came from TV shows to continue the story, whether it was before or after. And I really liked Fire Walk With Me as well.
I've seen Serenity 19 or 20 times and my family can't stand it because when I watch it or when someone will say, well, should we watch something tonight and get pizza? I go, Serenity now, every time. And they get annoyed. They're like, Dad, we've seen it 10 times. Maybe we'll, or 20 times. We'll see something else. So that's usually
was the Avengers, the British Avengers thing, was that a continuation? Like, because it was them retiring, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I didn't see it.
Right. I'm trying to remember, too. Did we watch that for Thumbsack?
No, definitely not. I feel like we may have been on a list at one point. Like, maybe we were gonna, but we didn't. I don't know.
Sex in the City. Never saw it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another example. I wonder how that
one we did watch, though, was the Batman 1966 Batman, which was, you know, continuation of the.
I'm realizing there's a huge difference between a TV show that leads to a movie and the movie stars other people and a TV show that has a movie and it's all the same people. The Star Trek The Next Generation movies. It's just a different thing than, you know, like the A-Team or the,
the Charlie's Angels films. The Avengers, if I remember correctly, was Liam Neeson
No, Liam Neeson was A-Team. He was the head of the A-Team. Or maybe he was in both. I don't know.
Maybe he was in both. The Avengers, though, was it the same actors? I felt like it was the same.
I think there was a... Has there been two?
Oh, Ralph Fiennes, not Liam Neeson. Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman.
I remember it being Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and Mark Ruffalo. I'm confused.
This and confusing. The shawarma and
This MI5 felt very much to me with the pacing and everything. Felt like X Files movies did to me.
A little bit, fair enough. I mean, it's not obviously different focus and not supernatural this and that, but. But yeah, like it's a little bit like that. And this is a combo of what you guys were just talking about. This is some of the old cast of a beloved drama showing up in your film and then a bunch of new faces, you know, Kit Harington being the most prominent.
Used to filming a TV show that's about an hour long and then suddenly you get into a roomier area, you know, in a little bigger screen and different sets because, you know, X-Files, they did a lot of location shots. They also did a lot of stuff back in, you know, at the studio. So I feel like it just gets this totally different flavor and, you know, you get a different cinematographer probably and most likely. And so it's odd to see your TV show and actors there, but with just a little bit different flavor to it.
Sure. I mean, the director here did the show as well, a bunch of episodes in the show. So he, you know, he'd had experience with that. And to me, it felt like, I mean, if I'm being honest here, it felt like a TV episode, just longer.
It totally did. Right. Like this, yeah. I even put, and I think in our discussion after I'd watched it, I said, for good or bad, this movie feels like a made for Netflix British espionage movie. Yeah. And it totally does. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed
like
it
I said,
well.
It makes me want to go back and watch Spooks, but
no Kit Harington though. Sorry.
That's all right. I'm okay with that. I really like Peter Firth, so I'm kind of, you know, excited to see more of his character.
He's great.
And I just want to I gotta put this somewhere in this episode, so I may as well do it now. Someone came along since we said we're going to watch this movie and added to the trivia page on IMDb, Sylvester Stallone was considered for the main role of this film. I want you to identify yourself to us. Claim your work, mystery trivia adder.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think. I think that it is just a long-running IMDb-wide joke to put this in now, and it's got nothing to do with us, but it sure feels like it, because every time we look at anything, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or somebody like that is credited as almost getting the role.
I need you to email us whoever put that there.
Yeah, that's so stupid. Oh my god!
I'm
going to
put a stake in the ground and say that we need. If you know, we've had talk about FilmSack TV shirts, like FilmSack T-shirts, like the Scott and Randy and Brian and Brian. You know, in big Helvetical letters. I think we need shirts that just say. Sylvester Stallone was considered for this role.
Nice.
Just on the front of the shirt.
I'd buy that. I'd wear that.
I would absolutely wear that.
I'd wear that everywhere. I'm trying to see. Actually, we do have some shirts up right now. What do we have for FilmSack? Hold on. I never talk about these on the show. That's a dumb thing not to do. Here it is. Shirts.
I didn't know we had shirts.
Clothing, bundles, apparel. That's what we call it, apparel. Here we go. FilmSack. We got one that says Scott and Randy and Brian FilmSack at the end. We got one that says, nope, that's it. That's the FilmSack.
That's the whole list.
That is both Alpha and Omega.
Yep.
That is A and Z.
Yep.
Speaking of the whole list, also on IMDb, every movie has a category called plot keywords. The first three plot keywords for this movie are murder of a pregnant woman murders a man, and pregnancy.
Yeah. You know why? Because I think that is a tool used by people with weird fetishes. Like it's I think that they figured out something that 99% of IMDb users don't use. Mm. And so they'll have like they'll put stuff in there like full frontal nudity of a child, or you know, it's like some weird like lots of feet.
So you think NSA is doing this, right? Throwing a big net.
Maybe.
I think that they people have just found like there's a certain group of people who have found a part of IMDb that's not really being used by anyone else, and they said, you know, we could just use this, right?
I don't know. Fun. It's so weird.
You look at other films, and they all have that really weird plot keywords thing that you wouldn't say. Anything to do with the main focus.
Right. This movie is not about pregnancy. I don't understand how it's in the top three keywords.
What?
Right.
Oh, because of the why his wife was pregnant. Yeah,
his wife is pregnant and she's dead.
Yeah, that was a rough. I was gonna ask you guys why.
Why would you even bring the body if it was dead? That's what I didn't understand.
Here's what I was gonna ask you. Here's what I was gonna ask you. Do you think that the movie got a rated R here? I didn't like violence wise. It felt like well below PG-13. It was like TV level stuff. It was like no big deal. There was hardly any blood. There was, the shootings were all very quick and so often
and
off
sometimes
camera.
Sometimes off screen. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of that sort of thing. There were a couple of F-bombs, mostly Kit Harington dropping them, but you can get a couple of those in a PG-13 and get away with it. It may have been the subplot with, hey, the pregnant wife of this terrorist is dead in the back of a car with her eyes open. Or in the trunk or whatever. Oh, that was probably what pushed it over. But other than that, like, why was this movie?
What's in my trunk? Right. It's Kit Harington.
By the way, just to really quickly put a pin in that last thing, I looked at Kindergarten Cop, which is a film that I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was considered for the lead role.
Yeah.
Plot. The first three plot keywords are holster, shoulder holster, and shoulder.
Wow.
Shoulder holster and not tumor, because that's all I think when I think
tumor
of that.
Would be. Oh my God! Is there a way to add?
plot keywords, because I would love to have tumor slash not a tumor.
Well, it's all that stuff's all crowd done, right? So yes, you could go it's in there. And,
no,
yes.
I don't know anymore. I'm just IMDb. Someone needs to come fix your crap.
Yeah.
IMDb.
Yeah. I mean,
ferret is listed as one of the keywords.
Why?
Ex-husband, ex-wife, obscene finger gesture.
Oh, there's that.
Astoria.
Uh huh.
Singing is listed as keywords. Cheering is listed as a keyword. This is just completely broken.
That's a bad. That's like a tag cloud gone wrong. It's just wrong.
I wonder if this is all watched by AI or something.
Probably
just like it picks this thing out.
Maybe I don't know. Yeah. That seems too dumb.
Some
even
weird
for AI
sitting in a dark room watching these. That's what I want.
I think people dick around with it. I mean, we know the trivia is that way, or else there wouldn't be a Sylvester Stallone was considered for this role line in MI5, which is. The dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, he was going to be the Kit Harington character? Yeah, that makes sense. Pull old Sly Stallone out of retirement and have him come work with Peter Firth.
He never retired.
No, not the actor. Right. I just mean the character. Like, his kids wouldn't have fit in 2015. Are you kidding? He's 900 years old. It doesn't work.
It's totally a gag, but I'm now looking at our upcoming list of movies that we're going to watch for FilmSec, and I'm making notes on what's in the trivia to see if we're actually affecting.
Yeah, who knows how that'll go.
I think there's even a part of, so with IMDb, you can actually go to a page that does the keywords. So you can specifically say, all right, show me all the movies that have, and you do like a little checkbox list of, here are the things I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But it sorts them by the number of times they're included in movies. And female nudity is like the ninth one down.
Wow.
Something called F-rated, which I don't know what F-rated is.
Mm-hmm. F-bombs, maybe? I don't know.
Father-daughter relationship, mother-son relationship, softcore, male nudity.
Oh my gosh.
These guys know that real porn exists, right? They can just go find that.
Right, exactly. Right.
Well, this is
any porn on IMDb.
Sure, hon, we can watch an independent film. All right, let's see what we got. Independent film, female nudity. Yeah, okay, how about the movies?
Does IMDb allow adult films in their archives? I mean, in their database?
Some of it, like the Sylvester Stallone thing is. And the
thing last week we're looking at.
I don't know if it's like all hardcore
porn
movies.
Yeah, I don't think you can get Big Booty Bounce 5 or something like that in IMDb.
Oh, is that an actual... Bad. Hold on, is that an actual thing?
Booty Bounce? No, that's the name that I can... I'm sure I'm getting it wrong, but it's the one that we talked about on TMS years and years ago, where the woman bought a DVD for her child, and the newscaster clips up said something like, they saw naked people. Something like Big Booty Bounce 5.
All right, I found an answer to this question. So apparently it's cursory stuff. It's rare once in a while because some mainstream person used to be, like Tracy Lord's probably got some credits in there.
Oh, sure.
They don't really detail them or go too deep into them, but they're in there because of just data reasons. There is
like
now
Deep Throat would be in there, but right, you know, not the thing that you see down at the Sticky Floor Kiddies Theater.
Exactly. Now on the as a result or as a response, there is now an Internet Adult Film Database, which is
interesting.
IAFD.com, and apparently that's where you go for that. So I don't know
why. I would love to know what the keywords. Oh my God, I can't even imagine. I don't even want to know what the keywords are.
I mean, I don't know if it's like the same kind of thing. Let's see. I'm gonna be safe here.
Oh boy, do that.
Thanks
on your private
a lot,
browser.
Spooks.
Okay.
MI5 taking us down this.
Okay, it looks like it is. It's the front page is pretty safe for work. There's nothing crazy here.
Okay.
But if you click on, they have it by birthday. So,
geez.
Can we
get back to MI5?
Yeah, can I get out of this?
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't want this. I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
Literally no nudity on the front page, though. That's
crazy. Yeah. Well, that's how they get you.
That's how they get you, dude.
This is good and healthy.
Like a completely safe site. Okay, I'll add this to my safe search. Whoa.
That's awesome. All right, check this out. The scenes in London, the streets there, took reshoots over and over. They had to keep doing reshoots. Not because anybody kept blowing it, not because any acting was wrong, not any of those things. It's because in 2015, we were at peak Game of Thrones. People were really into it, and as a result, these big buses they have all around London were driving around with his face on them. So like it'd be a big picture of Jon Snow floating by in a scene and be like, oh my gosh, cut, we have to do, because they're running around with people in it.
Come on, that's great.
I love
very
that.
First very, very first scene in the movie, the very first shots had an example of the worst rain machine rain I've ever seen. And it makes me so sad because they're in freaking London. You would think they could have just gotten a day when it was actually raining. But then again, I can also understand filmmakers being like, hey, a sunny day, that makes it easier.
Yeah.
I wrote that down on my notes because I noticed that it was like, it's a shot where the, you know, it's right after you see the helicopter kind of hovering, you've got rain kind of coming down. It's like, all right, that's pretty cool. But there's a panning right shot where it looks like, there's a little bit of rain coming down on some cars, but one car has like a bucket being poured on the top of it.
It's ridiculous.
And I think I figured it was just underneath like a rain spout or something. I was ready to write that off just based on how well they did everything else. But you think that that was just like,
oh, it was absolutely rain machine rain. You can see areas where there's no rain hitting the ground. You can see areas where cars are under stuff and the rain machine was turned to spritz them.
Uh-huh.
And so the rain is all on one side of the car. It's so bad. And it's just like, and it's like London. What is it? Everybody talk about the weather in London, right? Like it always rains. Except when they're making this movie, apparently.
Yeah.
By the way, sorry to clarify the actors who are in Game of Thrones. I guess there's three total: Kit Harington, Elise Gable, and Tim McTierney or Mick.
So
Lierney.
We may have to make a little pivot here. This week, we couldn't find any Trek connections. Maybe if we do English movies, maybe we need to start doing Game of Thrones connections.
Yeah, Game of Thrones or Harry Potter connections or something. Happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's an interesting point because every time we do one of these British productions, we hardly find anyone who's been in Trek, almost never.
Right.
I mean, that's weird.
Well,
the British
Film Sack podcast does that, right? They use the Game of Thrones and Harry Potter.
Hold on, what do they call themselves? Because Film Sack's offensive.
Curious, I was just trying to figure it out.
Film Pouch.
Because Sack is like super offensive over there for some reason. I'm just gonna have that in my head. They don't like Sack.
Not so great here either.
Yeah, like Spooks exactly. And MI5. We got to split it like that. I like that. That's pretty good.
And it's, you know, it's Nigel, and Nigel on Film Pouch.
I was reading about this the other day with Tom. We did Friends for Autopilot, and the pilot's really weird in that series. But anyway, we're watching that, and we found, there's this huge list of shows that started here that were hugely popular and then went all over the place. And there's tons of examples of this. It's like when the British office came here, there's also like 15 other offices around the world. There's a Turkish office and an Iranian office and all these other shows. Mm-hmm. And those are really fun to track down and read names of. The Japanese version of House MD is what is it? It's like Super Medical Happy Dragon or some shit like that. It's awesome. It's this ridiculous name with the word dragon in it. Oh, it's so good. Anyway.
Right. Really? Okay.
Yeah. I wish I could find it. Actually, here. Japan House.
Is it because MD. The main character is so crotchety that like he's kind of like a dragon?
I don't know. Like, that's what's great about Japanese title conversions and why video games in Japan sound so stupid to me is they all mean something, but to us, they just sound like gibberish.
Yeah.
What the heck? Right. I can't find it now. TV show. Okay. Well, it was really funny when I saw it. Now I can't find it. Huh. Anyway, something to go look for yourselves if you want to find that. I wrote here, how you know they're lying, that Sylvester Stallone thing. So we've already talked about that, I guess. Oh, here's a trope for you right here. Shoot him in the knee first to show you're serious. You can't shoot him entirely if you don't shoot him in the knee first. So that girl took one to the knee. And then...
Right.
You don't think I'll shoot her?
Yeah.
Boom. Ugh. Kneecaps. Gone.
Now, did she pull the trigger? Mm-hmm. Remind me. She pulled it at the end.
She tried to. She helped. I mean, she put her hands on his hands to kind of like pull the trigger and just say, you know, end it. But I thought he threw down the gun when she did that.
Okay. That might be right. And then I wrote, the funny thing is, and this is actual writing here.
The
funny thing is, Rob Stark got a better gig with the Bodyguard show on Netflix, just like Rob Stark got a better deal on Game of Thrones over his brother Jon Snow. And that reminds me to tell people, if you haven't seen that, I forgot his name. What's his real name? The Rob Stark guy? Whatever.
Yeah. Madden. Madden.
No. Not John Madden.
Richard Madden?
Richard Madden. That's it. John Madden.
Well, we're planning on bringing over the arrows over here to this side. Let me draw the Telecaster here.
You know what? That's not a bad John Madden that you do. It's not bad.
Oh, really? I've never tried to do a John Madden.
It wasn't bad. I could hear it.
Well, I'm going to workshop a little bit.
All right. Let us know how that goes.
There is so much bad gunplay in this movie that I can't, I couldn't even, like, I gave up. I was so frustrated.
What did you dislike most? What was the gunplay you disliked most?
Everybody ejecting around when they were, to let someone know that there's a gun present. That ridiculous clack, clack. And the worst example of it is a sniper who would never do that. No one who you, if worst you were, ever. If you were given 2 hours of sniper gun training, you would never, ever again consider ejecting around in order to, I don't even know what, why, like who could hear you from that distance? I don't even get it. It's
why
would,
why would he shoot her in the chest? You know she's wearing a vest.
Oh, that was the other thing. This guy. I wrote this down too. I'm so glad you brought that up because this must be the gamer in my head talking. Mm-hmm. But I've learned over many 20 plus years of first person shooters that you aim for the head. You get more damage with the head. You take him out better with the head.
He was aiming for the head though. He was at a great distance in the and he didn't aim high enough.
He didn't account for gravity.
Well, yeah, or wind. There was clearly wind. Or, I thought
wind
that was
goes
funny.
Straight down and pushes the bullet from the head to the chest.
Yes, that actually happens.
It does actually. He's right. And that drop is whether is can be. Yeah, like those guys that are always going 22, 53. He's got the little guy laying next to him with the binoculars trying to give you the.
But then there's a shot of you looking down the sights, and you see him put the center of the sights on her face. And of course, like that's just like, okay, whatever. Who cares? Gosh, like the gunplay again, the gunplay is so bad. There's actually a promotional picture of this film where two agents are going upstairs and they both have pistols out with their fingers on the trigger. And the agent behind the one in front is aiming at the stairs, looking down the sights of his pistol, aiming at the stairs as he goes up the stairs. And it's like just the dumbest thing.
Well,
no one would do that.
When the CIA guy got shot.
That was my favorite. He just walked straight in like a dummy.
Yeah, and then she just did the same thing. She walked right back. She went, got on the phone and said, Jenkins is down, and then just walked through again. Like, what are you doing? Someone just semi-automatic or at least shotgun, shotgunned you, that guy dead, and now you're just going
to
walk in there?
You just added Leroy Jenkins to this. I love it. It's perfect.
I didn't think about that, but you're right. Like he went busting in without. He basically Leroy Jenkins himself to the floor and died.
All right, chums.
Yeah, and he was the American guy, right? The CIA guy.
He was a CIA agent. Yeah. Correct.
It's interesting. This is
she called it out. She said the CIA agent just walked in. He's dead. He's dead. Come on.
I know what they were trying to do with the American bad guy because what that is that plays off some actual ones. Like there are radicalized. Dudes grew up here and then left and are now in Afghanistan or somewhere else. Like that's a thing. And they were trying to capture that. He didn't seem like a leader to me. He seemed like a angry brat with like,
right. Yeah. Power hungry or power to his head kind of thing. Yeah.
Why anybody's following him. I couldn't quite figure out, but there were moments.
Just like his family, right? His brother was the sniper. His cousin was over there packing up, dynamite vest. It was awesome.
Was that his cousin?
Family thing.
I didn't know that was his cousin. If it was his family,
I just assume maybe it was a whole family thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Speaking of that, there's a trope alert here.
Oh, wait, we haven't used this in a while here.
The terrorist has a man on the inside. It's the youngest, greenest man, and there's a second person on the inside in a shocking twist at the very end. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty twisted.
I was never shocked or twisted this whole time. So.
Yeah, I always wondered. I mean, they also, the bigger part of that trope is they want you to think it's the angry bald guy that's in there meddling with the way things are done and then firing him and then taking charge and all that. Everybody, movies like this want you to go, I don't trust that guy. He's too, he's too mean. He's too power hungry. He's got to be the guy. And then when he's, stands up sort of unflinchingly to that terrorist gun in his face,
right? With Ray Parker looking like, or no, Ray Parker. Yeah, it was
Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr. Darth Maul. What's his name?
Yeah, right. Ray Parker.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fine, but he kind of became a badass in the end. Like that guy was cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and I hated him at first, and I was like, oh, this is either too obvious or it's someone totally different and they're misdirecting. And it turns out they were misdirecting, but I mean, I didn't think it was the lady until the until that very end thing. I had no idea.
Right.
No idea. So they pulled, they got me on that. And I thought that was really
good.
You got
good. Me, movie. That, you got
that,
me.
That, like Randy said, that ending was really good. And the way that they handled all that, I think, was really good. I thought the standoff in the office itself was super intense. Mm-hmm. I even liked the guy with the grenade getting smashed up against the glass and then blowing a hole.
Yes, and blowing a hole through the glass. Yeah,
that's our second gunfight in a couple of weeks where we've seen people shooting through glass holes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Snowpiercer.
Yeah. That's so dumb in Snowpiercer, yeah,
but,
though.
But that was from, Snowpiercer was from a ridiculous distance. This is actually ridiculous. Like, oh, okay, I can kind of see that.
Yeah, this one it was totally believable. It was like 12 feet away. That glass would have to be blasted to blow up like that. Like, it all felt legit to me. It was fine. Mm-hmm. And Jon Snow, that dude doesn't... Kit Harington actually smile ever? Does anyone know if he ever, like...
No, never in his life.
Yeah, not in this or Game of Thrones. We're waiting for that rom-com, though. That's going to be... Right. That's when we finally see Kit Harington...
There's actually pictures of him marrying the actress who played Ygritte on Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. You know, their husband and wife.
They look miserable.
And no, there are some of the marriage of the wedding pictures where he's smiling, and it looks like they brought in a Jon Snow lookalike to stand in for Kit Harington. It does not look like Kit Harington.
Really? Oh, I love it. Really? I totally love that. Yeah.
Fun side note that his wife, the actress who played Ygritte in Game of Thrones, is also in a couple of early seasons of Downton Abbey as one of the house girls.
Really?
Yeah, she was very good on there. I remember seeing her leave that show and went, "Oh, I wonder where
Rose Leslie." Go. Rose Leslie.
And I thought, "Where's Rose she going to go? She's cool." And then the very next year,
"Where's she going to go? Hey, where are you going? Come back here."
"I'm going to Game of Thrones," she says.
Anyway,
but a guy like him, he's a very slender, very slight man, and so a
but
guy
he
like
runs
him,
like a man.
Oh, sure. But I'm just saying, like, in general...
That's how you know this isn't Mission
exactly
Impossible, by the way.
In general, he needs to scowl all the time to look dangerous. Like, if he wasn't scowling all the time, you would disregard him. He's so...
I think he's got a charming smile when he does it, and he kind of brightens up the room when he does it, but it's always got this tinge of sadness to it. And
yeah, right.
I mean,
he does have sad
would
eyes.
Would you say the same thing about Sutherland and 24, like, man, Jack Bauer just never smiles.
I mean,
yeah, he always gives that look down and kind of goes,
I would say that's also a part of Kiefer Sutherland. I would also say it's a part of his, like, career, you know, like going back to when he was a teenager in movies, he's made a career of scowling.
Yes, and kind of a sneer.
He brooded a lot, but I, you know, he also smiled. I mean, it was always evil, but he smiled a lot in Lost Boys, as an example.
Yes, evil smile. What is
that? How do you like those maggots, Michael? Yeah. Enjoying those maggots.
Is that, we got to check the status on that redo, because that's happening, I heard. Hold on. Yeah. Lost Boys. Let's see what's going on with that. Was it a series? Somebody's doing something.
Right. But it was going to focus more on the Frog Brothers or something.
Yeah,
is that right? Or
something like that.
Or the Frog Boys were going to come back, like,
can't
to
find
be part
anything
of this.
Yeah, it was like maybe one of Apple's new things they're doing on their streaming thing or something. Somebody's working on something. And I don't know what it was, but I want to. I'm
July desirous. 29th. Oh, God. CW. Well.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah. I mean, we had such high hopes.
I mean, I guess if they went the Supernatural route, I'd maybe be okay with it, because that show's pretty great that way.
Yeah,
like
it's being done by the guy who did Veronica Mars and iZombie, Rob Thomas, no relation to Matchbox 20 dude. Stars, let's see, the only two holdovers from the original pilot will be Medallion Rahimi as Stella and Dakota Shapiro, who will play David. There are no names in this list that I've... Oh, Tyler... No, Tyler Posey.
You say Tyler Perry. Madea's in this.
Why not? It's
the last one.
2019, guys. This is where we are.
So I'm looking to see if there's any sort of, like, here's... Oh, early 2020.
Okay. So. All right. I'm curious about that. They get it right tonally, and it's not just a teen fest. I might be into it.
Yeah, I'm more excited about the Face-Off reboot.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. Can we talk about this for a second? Because we film sacked this, didn't we?
This is appropriate to talk about here.
Yeah, so I think we watched it, right?
We totally watched it, yeah.
Let me make sure, because we've been sure before.
I could eat a peach for hours. That's why it's on your soundboard.
Face. Okay, there. It's not in the... It's got to be in the archive.
What?
Then. Well, hold on.
Okay, all right.
Don't worry yet. Okay, we did. Face-Off, episode 139. Yeah. That was back in 2012. So... Face Off, one of my favorite 90s movies. I love John Woo. We've been through all that before. Part of the reason I like it is a thing that can only happen in the time it happened with the people it happened with. John Woo's the right director. Nicolas Cage was perfect at the time. Yeah. And having John Travolta be able to do a really good Nicolas Cage impression turned out to be the best idea ever. So it was a really good confluence of these things and then his directorial style to take it over the top and everything else. I don't know how you do that again. That seems insane to me to even try to do that, because now we live in a day where what? You're going to deep fake the face for the video? Or you gonna,
I don't know. I don't like the way you said that. What, are you going to deep fake the face? Don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd love everyone's opinion on this, but I'm not one of those people that goes, I can't believe you're going to remake this thing. And freak out like they're going to kill my childhood. I don't care about that. I'm always for, let's try to do a thing. I'm all for Matrix 4. I'm all for reboots of things. I don't care. But this in particular, for some reason, I feel the opposite, because I just don't know how this works without you blowing it.
Well, I mean, come on. The guy who's writing the script is the guy who wrote the script for 22 Jump Street, The Cloverfield Paradox, and Sonic the Hedgehog. So,
wow.
How with a resume like that?
Yeah,
an obvious progression for a filmmaker.
Right. What's next for you? Making a new Face-Off? Yeah, I don't know about that. Dunaway, how would you feel about them trying to recreate the magic that was Face-Off?
Remember, I wasn't like the big Face-Off fan. That's the reason why I'm kind of keeping it shit, because I still had this big problem with, you can't just swap faces. It's like, Brian, shut up and have fun. You can't get past that initial conceit.
Yeah.
I can't get past it. So
I can't have fun.
if I will be happy if they come in and go, we did more. We also did, we did like a plastic skull molding it also made everything else look right. Mm-hmm. But just maybe taking the flesh off of it, no, I'm not buying that.
Three-dimensional hologram face replacement.
They're gonna need a little more creative answer for me to be just to
we
to
use drones out. somehow drones worked.
We used if you said like we use like nanobots, I'd be like, okay, I can concede that your weird ass nanobites did something.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, interesting that our main, like the main thrust of Face Off for us is the hard sci-fi angle. Like that's what we're not at all concerned about the ridiculousness of the adventure. Mm-hmm. We're just like, stop a minute and explain to me how the face works.
Yeah, because without that face swapping working, the adventure doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like building a house on a foundation of poop.
Lies.
A foundation of lies. Whereas, there's some things where it's like, the whole MI5 premise, that's really cool, but this one thing that they did with the guns is a little bit unbelievable. When your whole movie is based on this weird, unbelievable thing that it's just like a latex mask that you can pull off one skull and slap onto another.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for me to concede it from 5 minutes of a movie. It's like, that's crazy. Yeah. Tom Cruise is wearing that weird technology mask he's got, and he's,
yes.
If you only show it to me for like maybe 2 or 3 minutes, I'm like, okay, I can buy it. But a whole movie.
It's why I had such a problem with Lucy. And didn't have that same problem with Limitless, is that Lucy relies on this whole, like, you're using all 100% of your brain.
Yeah.
Whereas Limitless.
Well, how am I supposed to poop if I'm using 100% of my brain? Because something's got to give.
Mm.
weird.
What?
Right. Well, I mean, so weird. The idea is this. No, the idea is this, that if you're using 100% of your brain, then what? How would your body breathe? Because if you're using all of it for computation, then how is it going to take care of the bodily function?
Well, you're autonomous.
Subconscious function.
That stuff's called your autonomous motor function, and that stuff has to happen without you controlling it. So you're breathing.
Exactly. So if you're used 100%, then you're like going, I better remember to breathe because I've taken complete control.
Okay. So I was not sitting in the movie Lucy going, How come Scarlett Johansson can still poop?
Brian is saying that using 100% of your brain would be a DDoS attack on your whole body.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that comparison. That's actually a strong comparison. I like that. What's the advice? We have advice?
I don't know. Couldn't it be like a fusion drive where like your autonomous functions are still being handled by the ROM or by the solid state drive.
That would be fine if it was another
by the
right. That'd be fine if it was something else in our body that was handling that, but not really. I mean, some of it can be handled locally to the organs and stuff, but most of it, no, it's got to have electrical impulses from the brain.
Yeah, it's the one. If you've ever seen the Futurama episode where they all go inside Fry's body to try to save him from this horrible gas station egg sandwich he bought.
Yeah,
it was great. And they go inside his body, and it's very scientific and fun. And there's a point where they go to I forgot the name of it, but it's part of the brain near the stem where if you cut the nerve there, he'll just poop.
there's that one part of the brain that's stopping us from constantly evacuating
the pooping. Yeah, and they were threatening to cut it, and these little aliens are living. It's a really funny episode. You guys,
that
should
is
watch
hilarious.
It.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah, we got sphincter muscles, and they're tightened all the time. But when we're no longer sending the signal to tighten them, they just kind of go okay.
It's attack on tightening them. Yep, there you go. Hey guys, breaking in here for a quick conversation about everybody's favorite sock maker, Bombas. That's right. Thanks to Bombas for supporting FilmSack. Bombas makes socks that are comfortable and look great no matter what you need or where you are or what you're doing, with a wide variety of options, colors, sizes, and so on. To get 20% off your first purchase, you visit bombas.com/FilmSack. And I love these guys. I'm wearing a pair. Well, actually, I'm not wearing them right now. I'll be wearing them later, though. They're the most comfortable socks I've ever worn. I have these like ankle highs, and I didn't know socks could fit this well, but they do, and they've kind of changed the way I think about socks. They're comfortable socks made from super soft natural cotton. Every pair comes with arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed that's comfy but not too thick. I can attest to that. My shoes fit just fine. Brian Ibbett has some of these as well. I know he would say the same. With many colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas looks great at the gym, at the office, or out of town, and every Bombas purchase you make, they donate a pair of Bombas socks to someone in need. That's pretty rad. I really love them. For real. They're the most comfortable socks I've ever had. And I'm not saying that just because they're advertising here. Like, literally, I got a pair and went, what? Are you kidding me? These are great. I love them. I like the philanthropic mission that they'll give them to others just because I bought a pair. That's pretty rad. Here's what I want you to do. Get 20% off your first purchase by going to bombas.com/FilmSack. That's bombas.com/FilmSack for 20% off. Go do that today. All right. I have some clips if you guys would like to hear them about this show, The Bodyguard. Yeah. I'm sorry, Robb Stark's adventures in London. Here goes. Yeah. I have a few. It's not a ton because it's not a very talky movie and it's all very serious. But here's one about murder and not wanting to murder somebody.
If you're not going to actually murder him, I think you've made your point.
Feels like that would get him in jail when he grabbed him by the neck and choked him, the old guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is in America, though, man. They could do that over there, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
Totally allowed. Totally.
I don't know what they do. They did kind of allude to the idea that they have closed caption cameras everywhere. Or not closed caption. What's it called? Closed circuit.
CCTV. Yeah.
They're closed everywhere over there, which everyone, I
guess. Closed caption like that better. I can't understand anybody. We need some closed caption cameras down here.
The Bodyguard, actually.
All right. Here's one about Oh, I wrote, how cool does this sound coming out of this guy? I think he just sounds so cool. Here you go.
Head of counterterrorism for Her Majesty's Security Service.
He's just so, like,
breathy and right into the microphone.
ASMR, that guy. Probably easier to take this dude in the UK than here is what I wrote. It's the English accent, check, or the American accent.
Get her to a hospital now or the deal's off.
She doesn't need a hospital. It's too late. What she needs is mercy.
It's just, it's like you watch the Big Lebowski over and over, and that's where he learned how to do the accent or something.
Are you sure that wasn't Scott Kahn?
It sounds a lot like him.
It really sounds like Scott Kahn from Hawaii Five-0.
Sure.
Seriously.
Yeah, he really does.
Maybe they had him do ADR.
Maybe. But I was like, I had to look him up because I thought he's really, he must be American, and I'm surprised that they did that. And no, he's a British guy. He's just faking it. Did a good job though. Usually I can hear that more, right? I can hear the crappy or the English part coming through, and I didn't with him. He sounded like a legit douchebag, which is what bugged me. Mm-hmm. Just sound like, and I don't mean a terrorist. I mean like the guy on the floor above you that won't keep quiet on a Friday night.
Like a real genuine, right? Like the actor is a genuine douchebag.
Yes. Yes.
Probably when he does his American accent.
When you ask Rob Stark where he's off to, he'll say,
I'm going to Glasgow.
Didn't they end up in Germany instead? Where did they end up?
There was a lot of country changes.
A lot of teleporting going on. Kind of like the last two seasons of Game of Thrones. Everybody was teleporting.
Yeah, I guess you just don't need passports at this point.
Well, it's talked about getting burner passports at one point. But
The passports and the phones were a big, you know, they didn't really approach them. That's the reason why this is more drama than, like, Mission Impossible would spend, like, at least 20 minutes telling us where they got the phone, who makes the phone, how the phone functions. We don't get any of that stuff here. It's just, hey, we have phones. Mm-hmm. They're burner phones.
Yeah, as much as there's lots of unrealism in the Mission Impossible movies, man, those are fun. Those are fun movies.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Yeah.
This last couple are really good. All right. I don't know what this is. Oh, this is the, I played at the top of the show.
So you should really be nice to me.
That guy died early, though, at the party. Mm-hmm. Remember, he had the bomb.
But you should be nice to him.
Yeah, that's a Martian Manhunter on Supergirl.
What?
Oh, he looked familiar.
Yeah, so when I see him, you know, walking around with his British accent, it's like, oh, my God, I've watched 5 seasons of Supergirl with him in his American accent.
Jon Valjean. Yeah, that's awesome. It's my daughter's favorite DC character is Martian Manhunter.
It's Martian Manhunter, really?
Yeah, wow. She loves him. I don't know why. You know what it is? She read this book called, what's that comic called? It was not Bruce Timm. Oh, I can't remember. I forgot the name of it. It's really good, but it's in a big hardbound thing, and she read this thing back to front. Or front to back, she didn't read it backwards.
That's the better way to watch it.
And it has really, really intense portrayals of that character's transition into Earth life. And I think that just affected her in a way that was like, you know, lasting. Sorry, Randy, you were going to say something.
I just heard Marcia, and I'm like, is there a new Brady Bunch?
Marcia Manhunter.
Marcia Manhunter.
hold on, let's see. Let's see.
I heard
if there isn't one, Scott, that needs to, you need to get on that right away, creating a comic of Martia Manhunter.
Yeah, it's not bad.
She gets hit in the nose with a football and she can't shapeshift it out.
How do you find the Brady? Oh, Brady Bunch. Okay.
Brady Bunch.
Bunch, 69.95. No, nothing new that I can find.
I heard there was a new Brady Bunch starring all of the original stars.
No. You know what that is? It's an HGTV thing where all the Brady kids are remodeling the house that was used for exterior shots.
But it's like Barry Williams and Maureen McCormick.
It is all six, right down to Eve Plum, Susan Olsen, Bobby Lickenland.
Bobby Lickenland.
Making up names right now, but I really.
It's Mike, I think. Mike Lickenland is his name.
Mike Lickenland, that's right. Yes.
It's not his name.
He used to live in Holiday, Utah. We went out there once and smashed his garbage cans when I was in high school. It was great.
Oh man, really?
Yeah, he lived at his house. It was like midnight. He was outside smoking, and he went into the house. And we smashed his garbage can because we were teenagers.
All of a sudden, you're the douche who lives upstairs.
Oh, I was totally that douche.
Show him, I'm going to smash his cans. That, you must be. Those must. How old are you, Scott?
They hate these cans,
right? How old are you, Scott? Because were they metal cans?
No, they were the rubberized ones,
like Grover lived in.
No, like not that? Like that. These are like rubberized, like Rubbermaid looking things.
I said Grover.
Grover did not live in a garbage can.
5 seconds from quitting this podcast.
He did in my episode. I had the super version.
The British version of Sesame Street. Grover lives in the trash can.
Oh, Grover! Grover the Grouch. I don't like that at all. I was 15. So, you know, you're 15. Right. You're dumb. You do stupid stuff.
How do you smash plastic trash cans? I can't even.
Well,
I
we
can't
jump.
Imagine.
So we tipped him over. Trash flew out of him. Then we get up and jump on them kind of sideways-ish. And it just started cracking. And then eventually we're just sort of flat and broken. And I mean, the funny thing is they're just the city, so the city will send out new cans.
Just a reminder to all those people who say, how did somebody end up in prison at such a young age?
Oh, it's totally, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't get caught.
You think they're all super bad people, but sometimes you just get in the system for doing stupid crap like jumping on somebody's trash.
Well, I don't think you'd go to prison, but yes, you would have, you know, you could have gotten, I would have. If we'd have been caught doing that, we would have been fined. We would have had, you know, all sorts of stern warnings, you know, whatever. It's vandalism.
Stern warnings.
But the he didn't ever hear it, and I don't even know if he cared. But we just thought we were really pulling one over on the guy that played Bobby on the Brady Bunch. We just thought that was hilarious to us.
Excellent.
Yeah.
He won't know what happened to his trash cans. It'll be hilarious.
It will be funny. All right, here's a good line I wrote.
I was here just long enough to realize you can do good, or you can do well.
I like that. That's a good line. Mm-hmm. You can do good, or you can do well.
It is a good line, and I don't understand why it's not better like used.
Mm. I guess I don't think Kit Harington is ever serious. That's what it comes to.
Really? I think he's always serious. He's never not serious.
He's never not serious, you mean?
No, I'm saying he always sounds like a child or like somebody who doesn't know what he's saying. He knows nothing. That's what I'm getting at. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what his whole character is. It's the same character. Jon Snow is the same way. He's always clueless, right? He's always just a little bit clueless, has a little bit odd perspective on life, maybe an innocent perspective on life.
But you know what I'm saying? Like a person who knows nothing and never seems to cotton on to what's going on, suddenly telling you there's this philosophy I once heard. You're going to go like, no, shut up. I don't care what philosophy you once heard.
I don't care what you read on the fortune cookie. Get out of here, you weirdo.
You Jon Snow looking dude. All right. I had to call Ibbitt's mom again because we were short on clips.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. She sent like a whole box of tape. So we got a lot of stuff to work with here. But prom
night lasted. It was like days and hours and hours.
No normal prom, clearly. And she has so much archival evidence of that. But the one part she hadn't sent me this part where this is actually your principal of the school who was like chaperoning that night saying this to you and your date. Okay, so that's what this is here.
I hate to be ungentlemanly, but we're going to need your clothes.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, I know. I used the royal we.
Yeah.
But it did work out.
Yeah, it did. Okay. Yeah. And then there was two of these. You had to leave the dance early. And when you left the dance early, the principal said this.
I'll tell your whore you said goodbye.
There you go.
Whoa. I actually laughed when he said that. That was just so wow.
Oh,
so
Scott.
Cutting.
I don't control whose principal is whose when they're growing up in high school. I don't know.
He was so straight for the whole movie. Then he just drops that little bomb and throws the phone away. Like, mic drop.
It goes against type, which is fun because he does that on the show a lot, on the spook show a lot, and he does it in the same sort of way where it's like, you know, he's always trying to do the ultimate good, but he's got to do a bunch of dirty work to get there.
Yeah.
And Peter Firth just does that really well. He's great. He's a great everyman sort of, I don't know. He's awesome. I'd watch a sequel to this that was just about him. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Here's the other Game of Thrones actor stepping up.
I'm the director general of MI5. Kill me and then put down your gun.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really smiles in his face. It's awesome too.
Yeah.
But not good looking.
Nope. No, no. He is, what is the opposite of good looking? Ugly?
He's not ugly.
He's pretty ugly.
Yeah, I mean, and, from a purely black and white perspective, but
he looks like a he looks like a stick that was rubbed in the mud.
Jeez, wow. Yeah, good thing you didn't say ugly.
I was gonna say he looks like the human that they based the Muppet Beaker on.
Right, right, with the chin that just goes right into the neck, like yeah.
I do like it.
Thought he had a handsome face.
Yeah.
You guys.
What's the opposite of good looking?
I mean, it's got he has character, though.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what matters.
You know, he's funny looking.
Yeah, he's funny looking, but in a character kind of way. And I thought he was kind of a badass. All right, here's a final line. I don't know what this was. Something about a maniac.
You're a lone maniac.
Oh, that's just her before she found out she
had a maniac.
She had a pill of beef.
Yeah, let's enunciate, people.
Yeah, say some
words.
Must
usually pronounce from her colon, and it just wasn't working.
She was underused.
She was using 100% of her brain.
Yeah,
so, that's right.
So she couldn't pronounce the word at the time.
By the way, a pill that would quietly and silently perforate your upper bowel, then just bleed out, and nobody could explain why. Right. That sounds horrendous.
Yeah. It does. It was great, but she would definitely not be kind of just. I'm uncomfortable. That would not be an uncomfortable feeling. That would be a, oh my God, I'm dying in excruciating pain, right?
Yeah, in the worst way possible. I like the spy pill that just gives you a heart attack. Just do that and get out of there. Be done. You know, just go, oh, my heart, and then you're done. And then nobody can trace it because it's some kind of weird invisible ink that, you know.
I understand that too. That also kind of threw me because it was like, oh, it's this new drug and it perforates your colon, but it's totally undetectable. I'm like, I'm pretty sure when they take your colon out and go, what happened to this? They're going to go, they must have been poisoned by that new pill.
I like the idea that an autopsy expert always takes something out of the body and goes,
I watch every time.
Ah. How did this hole get here?
Holding it up with two fingers. What's this?
I like that a lot. All right, time to dive here. Film Sack checklist on this card right here. Jack Bauerless 24, check. Mm-hmm. Never trust the Russians, check. That's always a thing to remember.
Yeah.
And finally, why are people still using BlackBerries in 2015? Check.
Yeah.
Get a smartphone for hell's sakes. A smarter phone, sure. I should say. Trek Connection, there are no Trek people. Daryl told us there were none, so I'm going to take his word on it. I did a cursory search myself and could find nothing either. It is devoid.
I like the idea that you're like, oh, Daryl, no, Daryl's stupid.
Well, once in a while, he'll miss one. He'll miss an obvious one once in a while, and it's not his fault. It's his machine.
No, it's the machine. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and so it'll be like a huge name like Patrick Stewart.
I know what's going on. His machine works the... His machine uses the IBM, Internet Movie Database API, and is the topic words are all wrong now.
Yeah, it finds sex connections and foot fetishes and things.
Yeah, it only looks at the Internet Adult Movie.
Not your fault, Daryl.
Database, whatever it was called that we were talking about.
Yep. Also for soundtrack grade, I give it an SC, and that stands for me for Spy Cool. And I really, really quite like it. I think that I have an example of it. It's not from the movie, but it's my kind of thing. If I can just find it here. Oh, I might not have it. Okay, well, never mind. I had something that was sort of like this. But I love spy music that's got those weird, like...
Instruments that you don't usually... Right, like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and they create like that weird tension.
Yeah, right.
And lots of weird little... Yeah, it's almost like not even music. Metallic, I don't know what to call it, but I love that. So for me, that was a solid soundtrack. I mean,
the composer of the score here is a guy named Dominic Lewis, and he has a bunch of credits on action films as music department.
Whoa!
This is kind of
his whole department
first real composer credit, and then since. He's been getting some work, mostly in like short films and this kind of thing. But he's credited as the composer for the new TV series DuckTales, and I'm like,
oh, cool. That's great, yeah. Wow.
There are new DuckTales?
Fun show. Yeah. It's been out for a couple years now.
Oh, all right. Here's an example of that kind of music, I think. Let me try this. No, that's not it. Let me try this one. This might be it. Kind of. It's not exactly right, but it's that idea of, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to call it. I like it, though. Let's see. Oh, hey, look at this. Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Mission Impossible 5. A bunch of men show up on motorcycles, and then they hold you by the throat and make loud, angry demands. And there's a pregnant woman who's been drugged, and you tie another woman to a chair on a top of a plastic sheet covering the floor, just like A Night at Ibbot's House.
Yes.
Hey.
Oh, I still didn't hear that. I was hoping for a banjo now, but not now. Later.
Into banjo.
Hold on.
Not banjo.
I'll go get one.
Hawaiian banjo.
Sorry.
Play it.
Ukulele is what I meant. I didn't mean banjo. Okay, who's next? Brian Dunaway.
I'm the one with the banjo. I live in the South. Get it right, Scott.
Right.
Spooks.
Yeah.
The Greater Good, a.k.a. MI5. But what about Fastest Cat in Room 58? I watched all the way through the credits. Nothing. What about the cat?
Cat in a bucket.
Cat in the bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to play the thing for it.
Who's going to feed the cat now that Bass is dead?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody. That's who. All right.
Somebody else. So another flat will pay for that.
Another flat. Always another flat. Yes. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
MI5. It's like 24 CSI Las Vegas and NCIS went across the pond and became £2.04, CSI King's Cross, and NCIZ.
Wow, that was a lot to take in, man.
NCIZ. I love that.
It's too early on a Saturday morning for me to follow what you just said.
Pause after each one to kind of, absorb it and then move on to the next one.
It was very good. That intense bit of music means it's time for the alternate titles. These were also just handed to me. This was almost called Most Informative 5. Interesting. I was just trying to come up with MI things. So the final one is Moist Igloo 5 because I couldn't find another one.
Moist Igloo. Yeah. That's global warming for you. Yeah. That's what happens.
That's what we get to.
Moist.
Right.
Yep. Igloo. Climate change is among us. Quickly, we have emails. I have two very short ones from you folks at home who sent them to filmsack@gmail.com. This first one is from Jesse in Albany, New York. He says this. Hi, Sackers. On the Rocky III episode, Dunaway asked about composition of flop sweat when you see people sweating their asses off in movies. And he says, and I think I know what it is. Of all the damn ways to contribute to the damn show, this is what I get. Anyway, in movies and photography, sweat can be simulated by mixing regular old glycerin and water together, a 50-50 combo, and then putting it in a spray bottle, spray it on the subject, and voila, instant sweat. I've listened to every episode since the first and only regret some of it. Watching the movies. watching the movies, I mean not your reviews. Anyway, you guys are great. Thanks for everything.
What email grossed Scott out the most?
This might have been this one. So the glycerin, I assume, gives you the congealing effect of sweat.
It's like Karo syrup. It's the consistency, the viscosity of Karo syrup.
And you don't add nitro, right? Is that what I learned from cartoons? If you put nitro in your glycerin, you explode. Is that the deal?
That's when it becomes an explosive and the coyote goes off the side of the cliff.
Got it. Super genius. All right. Final one, Mike O wrote in, and he had a comment about Cameron Diaz and her porno that she supposedly did. Because we brought her up.
I give it 5 stars.
We brought it up in context with Stallone's first thing being, weird half hardcore, whatever that was. Anyway, he says, hey, Sackers, while listening to episode 434, the one about Rocky III, you mentioned that Cameron Diaz starred in a porn. I've heard this legend so many times, I had decided to do my own research, and it turns out it was a softcore BDSM film when she was 19, and in that case, only exposed her breasts. Now, here's my least favorite part of this. Ready? Okay, I'm just warning everybody, this part I'm about to read, I really don't like reading it, but I'm going to read it. One of the articles I found about this states, quote, in the video, Cameron pulls down her bodysuit and apparently hardens her nipples with some sort of aerosol spray, unquote.
Some sort.
I need details. Is it
what is
workable fixative? Is it starch?
These nipples are too soft. They need hardening.
I want to know what it is too, but
medical description porn is like the people who explain porn to the blind, who like narrate porn for the blind.
Right. Oh my god,
Cameron, no one's gonna find your soft nipples attractive. We're gonna need to do something about that. Yeah. That is a weird.
Get some aerosol spray. Yeah.
Nobody wants to look at your flaccid nipples, Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what you guys are on about. I spritz my nipples with. Right. Never mind. I better stop this now.
Wait, what do you use? Like a little vinaigrette, or what is it? I want to know what you put on there.
I use Pam.
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 Pam's a good idea. It'll keep you from chafing. That's fine.
Yeah, it's a friend of mine, Pam Simonson. Yeah, she's real great.
Oh, you put Pam on there. Got it. Got it. Take that, Pam Simonson.
What else goes scout out the most?
That one. He does say, so while not a Stallone level of movie, it was still shot as a pornographic film. You were technically correct, the best kind of correct. Thanks for keeping me entertained at work and keep on sacking, says Mike O. Well, Mike O, thank you for the titillating details.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. And Jesse P.
The blind person that we were narrating the porn for saw what you did there.
Yes, indeed. Also, Jesse P. in Albany, thank you for sending your email as well. If you'd like to send your own in, it's easy. Filmsack@gmail.com. I would now like to make a demand. This is time where we usually say what our next film is. My demand is whatever we had planned, move it, because Vampire Kiss is going in. If anyone tells me otherwise, you're insane. We need to do Vampire's Kiss, the Nicolas Cage worst thing maybe he ever did. We have to do Vampire's Kiss. Thoughts, yes. Feelings, Randy?
I feel like it goes in October.
Does it though? It's not really Halloween.
Is it a Halloween? I've never seen it. So is it a Halloween now movie?
Yeah, I think we got. I just don't want it to go away. That's my worry.
Okay.
Do we have any? Right. Are there? Is there really any shortage of horror movies that we can use for October? Like, oh no, if we use this one, we're gonna have to watch Gnomes the movie for Halloween.
A rewatch.
I'm not finding it on Netflix. Where are we gonna watch
it? It's on Amazon Prime. Sorry, Brian.
Oh shit. Okay. It's on Prime, Dunaway.
That's fine.
Is it though? Hold on.
It's fine. I can subscribe for
He actually owns the you. He owns the director's cut Blu-ray anyway, so
absolutely.
He got in a 4-pack of Nicolas Cage movies.
Vampires.
A 4-pack? They sell those by the dozen.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it's the Nicolas Cage box set collection.
There it is. 1998, was it?
It has one of the greatest movie posters ever devised. It's so great. Like, yes.
I've never seen it, and all I've heard from everyone who I've ever talked to about it is that if this doesn't get sacked, then we are delinquent in our duties. So,
next week on Film Sack, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, Vampire's Kiss is what we'll do. We're doing it. Bring it on. And Brian, we'll get you, we'll rip you a copy if we have to. No matter what, we're watching Vampire's Kiss.
Oh, we got this.
All right. I'm not worried about you. That's that. In the meantime, don't forget, we've got a website, filmsack.com is the website. You can also send us voicemails at 801-471-0466. I can't read today. 801-471-0462 or email us like these two fine gentlemen did, filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at filmsack. If you're looking for all of our Twitter accounts, they're on the site, filmsack.com. Find everything there. That's going to do it for us.
Twitter.
For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Oh.
Usually has something to do with the movie, but that one was just like a
Kit Harington.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Were you trying to use 100% of your brain?
Yes. Yes, I was.
And he shit all over the floor. That's too bad. Anyway, that's it. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're a lone maniac.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.